Driving In with Becca Tilley and Tanya Rad, an iHeartRadio and two-time People's Choice Award-winning podcast.
Hello, everybody. It is not Becca's voice again. We are sans Becca. It is Tanya here, and we have called in a very, very special guest co-host that goes by the name of Brad Goreski.
I was just about to yell B-Rad.
I was going to say B-Rad, but a lot of scrubbers have said that sometimes we don't do the best job of setting up our guests, because we'll just bring people in and be like, oh my gosh, but we don't really say who they are.
Hey everyone, it's Brad Goreski.
Yeah. So if I said B-Rad, if somebody's listening, they're like, what? So Brad Goreski, a.k.a. B-Rad. A.K.A.
Yes, to your T-Rad.
To my T-Rad. One of my BFFs and other halves. Mm-hmm. He is, you're just multifaceted. You can't even, people try and read your bio before, you know what I mean? Like, to describe who you are. I use that with finger quotes.
Yeah, your accomplishments.
Correct. But you do so many things. What's your favorite accomplishment?
Oh, wow. Well, I recently had my star chart read, by an astrologer. Uh-huh. So the reason why I'm saying this is because my Gemini is in the house of career, basically. I can't remember what number it is, but I am a person who likes to be doing multiple things at once.
And you are that.
Yeah, she got it right, because what she said was that I thrive when I'm doing two tasks at the same time, which is true. I can be on the phone, but I can also be baking at the same time. But if I'm just sitting on the phone, I get antsy.
Interesting.
But I guess my biggest, I think my biggest accomplishment is having celebrated 20 years with my husband. That's probably my biggest accomplishment. We were talking about it the other few nights ago. And just, longevity in relationships just in the modern world now, and, making it through, lockdown and all of those things together. And at 20 years, we still look forward to being with each other the most, which is a really nice thing.
Honestly. Okay. Let's dive into that first, because, I feel like you, if I were to describe you, it's you're so many things. You are a TV on air personality. You are a stylist. You are a fashionista. You are a yogi. You are a baker.
I love that you threw yogi in there, because I was thinking I don't think I've updated you that Peloton has taken the place of yoga.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Well, pre-pandemic, I was all yoga, but now group classes to me are an absolute hard no. not happening. Not happening for Brad. Whatever floats your boat, but for Brad, a group class is not happening. So I got a Peloton in February, and I'm obsessed with it.
Okay, so cyclist. You also now are a how do you say it? Animated character voice. Over
I'm an animated
actor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm a voiceover actor.
Yeah. So we're going to get into all those things. We're going to start with your relationship with Gary, because I feel like I tell you this all the time. I'm obsessed with the both of you, because I think that you are very, very strong individually, and very, very strong as a couple. And I think that's, as an outsider, that seems to be a really big key and a big factor into what makes you both thrive in your relationship, because you're independently so strong and good on your own. And so together you're even better.
Yeah. Well, everything is meant to, we have independent careers and we have independent lives, but everything that we do serves the greater good as for us as a couple, So in terms of I was talking to a friend this weekend who's in a relationship, and they were expressing to me that, they were kind of going off in different directions. These two people were going off in different directions because work was getting busy and all these things. And I was like, well, hold on a sec. It's okay to let your partner go and be busy with work. You can slip into the number two position for a little bit and let them focus on work and let them, you know, be fulfilled that way. Because we've always done that in our relationship where, you know, Gary did a show in London and lived there for, you know, like 6 months on and off for 2 years. And I have traveled so much for work and we've been together and separate, but all of those things are important for us to do individually to fulfill ourselves creatively. But the mission behind it is to serve the greater good of us and our lives together. Do you know what I mean? Does that make sense?
It totally makes sense. And you know, what's something that's really interesting, and I don't even know if you realize how much of an impact this had on me. This was a while ago. I can't remember. The time now to me is just like, I don't even know, just flies by. So I have no idea when you told me this, but I remember you saying something to me. This was like, in the middle of, I can't remember if it was like right when, Red Star and I got back together or when we were broken up, but it was somewhere in that space where you were like, you put so much emphasis on, your partner or that, or love, like, because that's like what you want. And he was like, I can't remember exactly how you said it, but it hit me like a ton of bricks because it was so true. It's like, I have always wanted to do life with somebody and like wanted this partner. And now that I've found him, I was putting so much pressure on that relationship to be the everything. And like everybody else is like, when are you guys, you know, all these outside pressures of things that I'm not even thinking about right now. But then I would bring it in because I felt it all so much. And I was like, wow, Brad's so right. I just have to just make it a part. It's like a beautiful part of my life, but it's just a part. It's not the everything. And it, like, I don't know why it like really, really hit me. And I was like, wow, like I really sat on it for a while. I can't remember exactly. Do you remember what you said to me?
Well, I mean, I do kind of believe in not making, you know, putting pressure on the person that you're with, because it's just that type of pressure where they're like the be all and the end all and the only person that matters in the universe. Mind you, when we first met, that was exactly my mindset. You know, I was 23 years old and I was like, we're going to be together forever. And he's like, we might not be. And I was like, whoa, 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 whoa. Like, this is a forever thing. Like, we're going to do this for the rest of our lives. And he's like, no, we're going to do this for like as long as it lasts. And it might be a year and it might be 6 months, but I can't promise you that we're going to be in this forever, because that's just not fair to me. And while I remember being so upset, because, you know, like I feel like I grew up on like rom-coms and like all those movies where everything is supposed to be forever and you live happily ever after and that's it. But that's like not real life. And so I think I was also too young to absorb, for me, I was too young to absorb what that meant. But what it kind of meant was like, let it be what it's going to be for now. And if it grows into something else, then great, you know. And, you know, we've managed to put together over 20 years of days together just by the whole point is about being with somebody, right? So whatever that moment is, as long as you're present and being with that person in the moment, as opposed to like, you know, it's nice to project and like have goals together as a couple and, you know, be like, I would love to be able to do this with you and blah, 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 blah. Instead of, you know, kind of like a weird arrangement of accumulating material stuff and like things and how that's going to make us feel, as opposed to just being with the person day to day. And, you know, we also try not to fight. We try not to have big disagreements. We and really enjoy being with each other. And I think that's the main thing.
That's like the key. That's the ticket to it all.
It is. And then when something like a pandemic hits and you're like locked down with the person that you're with, I think that's why some people survived and some people didn't. Because if you like being with the person that you're with, then it was okay. And if you don't, then it was a really big, like, rude awakening that like, what am I doing with my life?
Yeah. But I think that's like, I think that's, you hit the nail on the head. It was being happy in the day to day, in the moment. I have such a hard time doing that.
Yeah, we all do.
Because I'm like, okay, now that I have, you know, this, what's the next for us? We have to do this. And then I have to do this. And it's like, I can't just be.
Well, the other side of that is being addicted to being busy, right? So it's like that I suffered from that too, because when the brakes got put on or when work is slow or something, I'm like, what's going on? You know, why aren't I flying to Paris? And then I was supposed to go to Paris and then New York and then here and then there. And I got to come home for a day and change up my bag and blah, 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 like this whole like rat race thing. And, you know, having everything kind of just like slow down and get stripped down back to basics. It was like, oh, okay. And like, now I don't want to go anywhere. Yep.
Yeah, you're like, I'm pretty cozy. I like you here. I'm just on my Peloton.
Yeah, oh yeah, I love it. All I need is my Peloton, you know, go to the gym for an hour and I'm good.
But I just honestly, I feel like I tell you this all the time, and I almost wish that like you and Gary could do some sort of, I know you don't consider yourself a relationship expert, but I mean, being together for 20 years is like an amazing accomplishment. And I feel like you have a lot of wisdom to share.
Yeah. I mean, I think it also just boils down to compatibility. Like we're like good together.
Yeah.
You know, that's also like the secret sauce. It's like, I found the person that like matches me.
Yeah.
In so many ways. And we're so, but we're also so different. Like we're not similar people.
At all.
So it is maybe like an opposites attract thing, but we're not so opposite that it's like, what are you doing? Like, I don't understand you.
Like
it's
yin
like,
and yang.
I totally get, yeah. Like I get him, mm-hmm. but we're not the same person, yeah. Even though sometimes his mom confuses our voice on the phone, but that's fine.
Okay. But I actually do want to ask you, because so you met Red Star for the first time and I didn't really
get at your birthday.
At my birthday.
I met him at your quarantine birthday.
At my quarantine birthday. And yeah. I didn't really get to like pick your brain on what you thought. Cause like this whole time you've just heard me talk about him and you've just heard me talk about him. But now you actually met him, spent a little time with him, and yay or nay.
First of all, he's a great host.
He is.
Like everybody, like hosting is not easy, especially for your group of friends. Not that we're all difficult, but we're like, you know, we're a little wild.
Yeah.
We're big personalities.
And everybody has like their own thing. It's like, I don't eat this, I don't drink this, I don't do this.
Yeah, right. He's welcome like, to LA.
Yeah.
He's wonderful. I mean, I think just I enjoyed spending time with him so much. He was a great host, and he put together such a beautiful birthday for you. And he was like my like energy level. Do you know what I mean? Like
yeah.
He's just, my energy like totally connected with his right away, because he's not like fussy and like pushing or like trying too hard. Like he just is.
He
so
just
it was just so
is.
Easy to just like be with him and hang out and like enjoy the dinner and enjoy you and celebrate you. And it was super fun. I really like him a lot.
Uh-huh.
So it's a big yay.
A big yay. That makes me so happy, because like, so when I was like really, really shocked, because I still thought you were in New York. So I was like, also then I was like, how did he get your number? Like he didn't have half of the people there. He didn't have half of their numbers, and he just like did it all. He just handled it, got in touch with everybody. And he was like, Brad was just like the easiest, chillest person to like get here. It was just like, yep, be there, see ya. What time do you need me to wear? And it was just like very Brad.
So me, but also who was the first one there, because I misread the text? Me.
What time?
I was like there. Oh my God, I was there so early. Like I thought
also
the
very
text
on said, brand.
Very on yeah. brand. The text basically said something about like, don't be later than, I thought it read, don't be later than 6 o'clock, because I'm picking her up between 6 and 6:30 and I want everybody to be there. So I got there at like 5:55 or whatever and was like the only person there, like was basically helping set up the bar.
No.
Where? And then like people started rolling in at 6:30 and I'm like, what text did you guys get? Like, how did I misinterpret this?
I mean, I just like,
I think Sharome was number, no, it was Sisney and then Sharome.
Oh, that came in next.
Those were the, yeah. And I was so happy to have people there, but I was like, I was ready to surprise you.
I like literally, the whole thing was just really, really special. And like getting to see him kind of interact, especially I feel like with you for some reason, it just like really melted my heart. Like the whole time, I feel like I was just like crying the whole night. It was just really, really special.
It was so good. I was really happy that I could be there, and it was really nice to see everybody and get to spend time with him and just see you so happy. So that makes me happy.
Aww. Well, okay, I want to take a quick break, and then when we come back, I want to talk about working with your significant other, because I feel like you and Gary do a lot of that.
Yeah, we're trying.
And so I want to talk about the pros and cons, if you like it, what you like about it, and all of that stuff coming up, okay?
Great.
With Brad Goreski. And I just also want to say thank you so much. Brad is like the ultimate friend, because I think I hit him up maybe 2 hours ago and said, I need a guest co-host, please help. And you were like, yes. You just said
anytime.
Yes. Anytime. So thank you for your time. I appreciate you always, and just being so like consistent and just there and down. So
it's the scrubbers, dude. Come on.
It's the scrubbers, and they've been missing you. We really haven't scrubbed in a while, so this is just, it's serendipitous.
I love the scrubbers, so I'm happy to be here.
Okay, so the scrubbers, we're always talking about new TV shows. And there is a new one that's streaming on HBO Max right now that your husband created. So first of all, it's called The Prince, and it's all about Prince George, and it's, Gary literally created this character on his own, just like an Instagram, right?
Yeah. So it came from his Instagram memes that, you know, started maybe, I don't know, I want to say like 4 or 5 years ago.
Yeah.
And so the animated series is inspired by that. And so it's about the royal family through Prince George's eyes. So the whole royal family is in it. And it just started streaming on HBO Max. It's short form animation, so the episodes are between like 12 and 14 minutes long. All the episodes are available right now, and it's like an incredible cast. Gary does the voice of George.
Do you know that it took me a minute to figure that out?
Oh, you watched it?
I've seen the first episode, and I was like, I knew who was on the list of like the names of people on it.
Yeah.
I didn't realize that Gary was voicing it. And then I was like, who is Prince? And then I was like, oh my gosh, it was when he was talking about Kelly Ripa. It was like during that. And I was like, oh, this is Gary's voice.
Yes. So Gary's Prince George. Orlando Bloom is Prince Harry. Condola Rashad is Meghan Markle. Owen, the Prince George's butler, is played by Alan Cumming.
Hello.
Sophie Turner plays Charlotte.
Yeah.
Girl. It's a great cast. Yeah, we love Sophie. Yeah. It's and it's super fun and funny, and it's been nice that people have been binging it and loving it and laughing and enjoying it. So I'm really proud of them.
At first I saw the episodes were so short, and I was like, why are they so short? And then I watched it, and I was like, it's the perfect amount of time.
Literally, totally the perfect amount of time.
It really is. And you can burn through. I mean, I did one episode and I stopped myself, but it's like, you can literally just do it if you want to sit. If you want to binge, you can just watch them all. But if you want, I like watching stuff one episode at a time.
Yeah. Well, this is if you're definitely like in the mood to stay in and binge something, this is the show for you. I had so many people reach out to me texting and DMing saying that they sat down to watch it and finish the whole thing in one sitting. A couple people have watched it twice. Like, it's very addictive and super funny.
It's so funny.
It's really funny. Wait, you haven't even, I mean, the episodes just get, it's really hilarious. There's some really good guest stars. Oh yeah, I'm on it. I'm actually on it twice.
Which episodes?
So I am on, I believe it's episode 5, and then I think like episode 7 or 8.
And was he like, I have an idea, I want to have you on, what do you think? Or was he like, I did this, I want you to do it, you have to do it?
No, it was more like a conversation of, you know, when he was writing the episodes, he was like, I have this idea of you being George's stylist, would you be into it? And I'm like, yeah, totally, let's do it. And so he obviously wrote it. Actually, he wrote it, and then I went in and recorded it in the booth in Hollywood, and he directed me from over Zoom.
No.
Yeah. Yeah, of course. And so he, like, you know, I did my takes, and then he told me to do it another way or a couple other ways. And then the thing I love about him working is he's so decisive. And so the minute that, you know, he felt like we got it, it was like,
game over.
Like, okay, we got it. Let's move on to the next one. But it's cool seeing him work, because, you know, he did it all through the pandemic, and, you know, I'm just really proud of him. He made it happen, and I'm glad people are enjoying it.
It's just so, the thing that I love about it is that it's like, he didn't just wait around for an opportunity to come. You know what I mean? Like, this was something that obviously it was like they called it a brainchild. It was something that it was a brainchild. He thought it was funny. He started doing it on his own. And then like HBO Max approaches you and says they want to turn it into a TV series. Like, that is so freaking cool that it's just like, it's not about sitting down and waiting for opportunities to come to you. It's about creating things, and then the opportunities come.
Yeah. I mean, I think with anything, it's really important to, you know, do things that, you know, that you're passionate about, and, you know, stay creative, and you never kind of know what things are going to turn into. I don't think there was any, you know, it wasn't like created and set out to end up as a show, but it has. And it's really cool that it's out now and people are watching it and binging it and enjoying it. So it's pretty awesome.
In the first episode, they play a Lady Gaga song like twice, like at the very end too. Is that your idea, or is he just as obsessed?
I believe that was his. I helped him with the music for the trailer, which is Dua Lipa. But no, that was all him. I mean, we were obsessed with that song last summer.
So good.
Yeah.
So good. It's cool. It's very, very funny. And I love you and I love Gary. And I'm proud of him too. And I just think it's cool that you guys work together and love each other and do life together. And basically what I'm just asking is if like you and Gary will adopt me.
Of course. That's a no-brainer.
Obsessed with you guys.
Yes, anytime.
Can you talk about your other show that you guys are doing?
Yeah, right now. So we had a travel show that we had started in February of 2020. And
which again started because you started filming all this on your Instagram. People were loving it.
It came through my documenting our trip to Italy that we took in 2019, I guess it was, and in the summer of 2019, and we got approached to turn it into a docuseries TV show, and we did. And we were filming it. It was called Brad and Gary Go To, and we were filming it. Started just before COVID hit in March. So we have two episodes done, but you know, there's still a pin in it because of, you know, what's going on in the world and now with the Delta variant and all of those things. So we're waiting until it's super safe to go back out and finish it. But you know, I love the show. We've put one episode together. We went to Rio and Buenos Aires, and I think people will love the show when it comes out. It's so, so funny.
Of course people are going to love it, because we loved what, like, I would watch your Instagram stories and I would literally be by myself and I would literally laugh out loud, and I would send them to like all my friends. And it's like one of the, you know what I mean? It's one of those things where you watch it and you like forward it to all your friends, 'cause you're laughing so hard and you want them to laugh so hard.
Yeah. It's 100% like what's happening and 100% like who we are as people. You know, I have certain things that I'm just not as fussy. I never ever thought of changing my table until I met Gary. Like when I go to a restaurant, never even crossed my mind. I was always, I can hop onto your imposter syndrome, Tanya, that I was just like, I'm just happy to be here wherever you want to put me.
Right.
And Gary's like, we're right near the
wind
bus
tunnel.
Station. Can we be literally the wind tunnel? Anything. We're always moving. So hopefully that picks up again and we can, you know, finish that off and people can see it. 'Cause I don't think it's like anything that's out there right now.
Definitely not. And all the BRAD content we can get, give it to me, honey.
Yes.
But you talk about how you and Gary are, you know, yin and yang. You're like very similar. You're very compatible, but you're also really different. when you guys are different in things, or you have like, I don't want to use that as an example that he likes like move tables a lot, but for bigger issues, how do you kind of come to a like compromise, or how do you see eye to eye on things? Cause you guys don't like to fight.
Well, I don't know. Like I have to really care a lot, you know, like I know that sounds weird, but I just do. Like, I know him so well and vice versa. And so I just really have to care. I don't know how else to put it.
Okay, like, so it's put just yourself not... back in the beginning when you were like, okay, we're going to, you know, get married and this is going to be forever. And he was like, no, we're just going to do this until it's good. How did you take that? Were you like,
well, I take a beat. So I just use like my kind of like sober training, which is, you know, pause, pause when agitated.
Wait, hold on. I'm going to write these down. What is it? Pause when agitated?
Pause when agitated.
Okay.
It's like, instead of reacting right away, just like taking like a mental beat. And sometimes that it's almost like a kid's timeout for me, but it's just like taking a pause before like saying the thing. And then sometimes the pause is like taking a pause and leaving the room and then going to do something and come back and see if it's actually worth addressing, or, you know, it gives you time to kind of formulate something that's at least rational. Cause I just don't want to react right away. So I think in that instance, I believe I remember just kind of going quiet.
That's what I do.
Yeah, I'm not like an instant. I don't go to rage or like fighting right away. I usually go to like dead inside first. And then like, swear to God, like it's all
the same way.
Yeah, all systems shut down. Like all systems shut down. You like, it doesn't, the keyboard doesn't go to sleep. Like nothing goes to sleep. It's like a full shutdown and then like a full reboot.
Yeah. But my eyes stay wide. So like my,
of course. Yeah.
So like I'm still
face
like,
goes red.
Yes. Yeah. I'm very much engaged and I'm still present, but I just go totally just like dark.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. All systems down.
Wow.
That's exactly how I am too. And then I try to, you know, formulate something. But like in terms of working together, I don't know. I like to collaborate. I also like the stuff that we're working on is stuff that we're working on together. Like me being on his show is like, I'm a guest on his show.
So he takes charge.
Yeah, I'm like his husband, but it's still his show. And he still knows like how things are supposed to sound or how he wants them to sound because he wrote them and created them. So I'm just like, you know, it's like you've got to be an actor taking notes from a director. It's all that is. And then in terms of our show together, we, you know, if I don't want to do something or he doesn't want to do something or doesn't feel comfortable, then we just move on to the next thing. Unless I feel like, you know, it'll be a super funny scene or whatever. But I think we're both game until we're like not. And then when, you know, we're very open to doing stuff. And so when one person feels strongly about, you know, not, you know, he doesn't like heights and stuff like that. So it's like, we're not going to do anything
bungee
that's going to make him.
Or...
Yeah. It's like, we don't, there's other things. It's just about pivoting. You know, we both just want the end product to be good. So it's just, we're collaborating. So I think we are both very, you know, open-minded to making sure that the other person is comfortable.
I know that you said this, you shared this on when I did my live, my Modern Woman's Guide show, but I want you to share your, and you might've already said it in this episode, but your biggest tip for people that are married. You said never go to bed angry.
Oh yeah. I was just going to say that again.
But how do you do that if you get into a fight like right before bed?
Well, you shouldn't be fighting before you go to bed. Like, what are you doing? Just like watch TV and like take your vitamins and go to sleep.
What if
like,
it
why
happens?
Are you having, why are you having deep conversations before you go to bed? It's like the wrong time. Like timing, unless it's something like you get a phone call from a family member that's like, oh my God, X, Y, and Z just happened. Then you can figure that out. But if you're just bringing stuff up right before bed is the wrong time. So I also just like my sleep. So it's also like a selfish thing. Like, I don't want to be awake all night worrying about like some dumb thing that we can wrap up in, you know, 2 minutes.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I just feel like keep it light near the end of the day. Like anything past dinner time, like chill out, take an edible, drink a glass of wine, like do whatever your thing is, but like, don't start. It's just not worth it. Like if you wake up in the morning and it's still a thing, then maybe like do that. However, if you have fought during the day or you have fought before you go to bed, you have to find a way to resolve it.
Yeah.
And if that's just as simple as like a lot of the time, it's not expecting something from the other person. So it's not trying to get some sort of apology or reaction of the other person. I think a lot of the times if you say, I'm really sorry that I did that I reacted that way, you know, I apologize. I think usually if you're in a good relationship, the other person will say like, and I'm really sorry that I did blankety blank.
Yeah.
So yeah, just like, it's just like a bad... Also, like, things happen so quickly. Like, things change so quickly. Like, and this is going to sound, like, so, like, airy-fairy, but we're not promised tomorrow, right? Airy-fairy. It's like, we're promised today. It's like, why go to bed with the ex? Like, we don't know what can happen moment to moment. Yeah. So, like, you know, why have unresolved issues when you can just clear up really easily?
Yeah,
just own, like Lisa Rinna says, like just like own your shit, just own it,
just like Lisa Rinna says. Okay, so I
like, have we ever had a fight,
you and I?
Yeah,
no, but we're lovers.
I know, but like, we've been friends for a really long time. We've traveled, we used to go to tons of events together. Like, I don't have people in my life that I fight with.
It's so true. Also because we have, and I mean, I can only say this because I feel like you do, but like, I feel like we have a respect for each other. We love each other. And it's everything we always say to each other is coming from a place of like, love. It's never from any other place. So
that's very true.
What would we fight about?
I feel though like it would be something so dumb though.
So it would be so dumb. But you know what's funny is when we were talking about the surprise party, I can't remember who it was. Somebody was like, I love
you. I said to you, because he said that you were starting to get annoyed.
I was starting to get annoyed at him, but no, I was laughing at, I guess he told everybody the theme was summer chic or something like that. And I was dying. Cause like Brad's in like leather pants and
I missed that memo.
The easiest person. He's like, Brad was your easiest friend, but he shows up in like the complete opposite, wardrobe as like Sophia and Paulina are in like floral dresses.
Hold on a sec. I will just say in my defense, first of all, I was wearing a t-shirt on the top.
True.
I was wearing leather pants and I was wearing basically like a Birkenstock with floral appliques on them. So it was my version and a real diamond necklace.
Yeah, the necklace was epic.
Those weren't CZs. I had security out front, basically.
you were the biggest hit. I do, and I have to say that there's something like very beautiful about all the people that you love the most in your life coming together. You know what I mean? Because it's like you all my friends know each other, but they're not necessarily like hanging out all the time. So there's like something like, I just literally kept looking around at everybody all the time, being like, oh my gosh, I couldn't even take it.
It was so fun. Wait, were you on a plane yesterday?
Yeah.
Where were you?
Oh, I went to Napa.
Oh, look at you.
We were supposed to have like a big podcast retreat over the weekend, and some things happened and that no longer happened, but a couple of us still went out. And actually, I want to give a shout out to the Meritage Resort and Spa in Napa, because it was such a cute, cute space. So basically, there's this giant courtyard. They have all these tasting rooms on the site. So like, you can go from like taste, you don't have to drive anywhere. It's so nice because you can have different tasting rooms that you just walk to, and they had like a live band. Robbie and I like danced in the courtyard. There was a cornhole, and like Connect Four and all these
cornhole.
Yeah, you know the game where you toss the sandbag and it goes in the hole. It's an American game. It's an American pastime, which you are now.
I am. I'm a U.S. citizen.
Full on U.S. citizen.
I am. Yeah. Weirdly, it took me 20 years to do it, but then it happened within like a month once I applied. It was so.
Why did you decide to do it now?
Because I want to vote. I haven't been able to vote. I've lived here for 20 years and I want to participate in democracy and I want to be able to have a voice. And I think it's really important to exercise that right. And so I now have it and I'm really excited to use it. I'm 40, going to be 44 years old, and I've never voted for anything.
Then that's about to change.
Yeah. So now I'm going to be at everything.
The red, white, and blue flowers that Gary sent you were so cute.
So cute, right?
Yeah. Really thoughtful. Yeah.
It was a very, it had just happened so quickly. Like, you know, this is all like boring logistic stuff, but because of COVID, everything's like backed up, I guess, but things just happened so fast. Like I applied, I got the interview. The interview was like 3 weeks after I got my notice. And then after I got approved, my case got approved by the officer, he was like, you're swearing in as Wednesday. And my interview was on the Friday. I was like, oh, I thought it was going to be like months away. And he's like, oh, no. You'll be all like done by next Wednesday at 9 a.m.
Did you cry?
Yeah, I definitely got very teary.
Yeah.
Gary cried. I cried. I mean, it's a big,
yeah.
When I first came here, when I met Gary in Greece and then I came here, I had no idea how I was going to stay here. Like I just couldn't figure it out. And I think, you know, when you're immigrating to another country, it's very daunting. And,
for sure.
It's, you know, it's just very, it feels really nice. This year of 20s of like 20 years of sobriety, 20 years with Gary, getting my U.S. citizenship, all of these like big things happening. It just feels very, and I'm turning 44, which is double numbers. You know, I'm into all that. So it's just like, it just feels like a very like big energetically. I just feel, I don't know. I just feel like some sort of.
A good energy push. Wait, that's so because you are going to be 44 soon. Is there something that you want to leave in your 43rd year or something that you're like really looking forward to?
Yeah, there's a big thing.
Personal to you.
I really want is to be able to go back on a dance floor again and not be freaked out.
Yeah.
So, no, that's not the only thing. Yeah, there's, you know, there are definitely some, I don't know. I'm a person that I like getting older. I just feel like every year that I get older, I feel like a little bit more, I guess that also becoming a U.S. citizen also makes me feel, it's like when I got married, like it makes me feel.
A new beginning.
Yeah, and like more like rooted, you know, yeah. Like just a little bit. You know, when the borders started closing and stuff at the beginning of the pandemic, I was like, oh, this could turn like weird for me. Like, I was on a green card, but it was like, I was trying to figure out like going home and if I could get back and like all this other stuff. And so, yeah, now I should be okay.
Do you want to do for your birthday something that I like to do on mine, which is write down my intentions for the new year of life and burn the things that do not serve me?
Yeah. Am I doing that now?
No. We like physically do it. We like burn them on fire. Have a tin can.
Yeah. I 1000% want to do that.
Do you really want to?
I feel like, yeah. Are you crazy? Of course.
It's like so B-rad. So B-rad, T-rad.
Yeah. It's also, it's like, it's always so weird. Like, I don't know. I feel like I'm the type of person who is born to make vision boards and I never do. I'm like so vision boardy.
Yeah, the fact that you don't make a vision board is the weirdest thing. Like a vision board is basically your middle name. It's the most B-rad thing ever.
I know it's so, do you want to hear the thing? I think the reason why I don't want to do it is because I'm afraid of not doing it perfectly. Isn't that strange? Mm. Like I'm afraid of putting, like I stress out about not putting the right things up.
Yeah, that's some deep rooted stuff, I feel like.
It's, I don't know if it's that deep rooted. I think it's just be wanting things to be like, do things perfectly, which like then makes me like, puts a stop in front of actually starting the task, right? It's like fear of doing it not well.
If you want to make one, nothing would make me happier for your birthday than to bring over a poster and some magazines and some alphabet letters and like vision board with you and like dream and burn things. I have some flying wish paper.
Yes.
You like it?
All of that. Yeah, I love that. Okay, that would be great. Like the best gift ever.
Okay, great.
Are you even here on the 15th?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm here.
Now that you're like, I'm in Hawaii, I'm in Napa. I'm like, I don't know where I'm going to be.
I know,
it's
been a lot.
I don't know where Red Star is going to take me. Red Star rented a private plane. It's taking me to the Bahamas. I'm like, oh, damn.
Could you imagine?
Not good, actually.
Rented. I mean, honestly, the fact that the surprise party that he pulled off was pretty epic. Like, I'm like not holding anything past him anymore.
I think we're going to do dinner. Like, I'm going to do a small dinner in Malibu on my birthday.
Love it. We can go before and we could like do the burning in Malibu because it's like nice by the beach.
Ew, that's so cute.
Yeah, it's really cute.
Okay, I'm very into that.
Okay, great. I have all the supplies. Okay, so we're gonna wrap up, but I want to, if we could get, because you have really good advice, could we get your advice on some emails before you go?
Yes, please.
Okay, great. We'll do that when we come back. We are back with B-Rad, Brad Goreski. For everybody listening, thank you again for taking the time. I appreciate you. I called you last minute and got the yes, so I appreciate you and I love you.
I was literally doing bicep curls when you texted me.
I would expect nothing less.
I was like, uh-oh, what's going on?
I know, because I was like, are you around? Are you around?
I was literally just like before even seeing what your text was, I was going to write, are you okay?
I know. Nobody likes to get the, oh, look at Mark's doing bicep curls right now.
There we go.
Oh, hey, I'm sorry.
Come on, Mark. Is that a 15? Come on, we got to get at least 30s, 35s going.
Yeah.
Didn't realize you guys would come to me so quickly. Sorry, I was trying to squeeze that in.
Yeah, no, I texted Brad and I said, are you, I can't remember exactly what it was, but it was one of those texts that you don't want to get. It was like, are you available later? Like,
what are you doing this afternoon?
Yeah. And so I was like, let me tell him what I was like, Becca's going to be out. I need a co-host today. And he was like, I got you.
So that's great. And I can't believe that there's no mention of cornhole in the U.S. citizenship test. That's really disappointing.
I know. Maybe we should try to petition to get that added to the 100 questions you have to study.
I think I've played it within the last couple of days. I've played cornhole.
Yeah. And Brad, mm-hmm. Wait, did
the
you
name
play?
Is just so.
Have you played bocce ball?
Yeah, but that's Italian.
Oh, okay. But have you played?
Isn't it?
Have you played Prosecco Pong?
Well, I can't.
Well, right. But you can fill it with like water.
That would be like relapse pong for me. No, but wait, they were playing that last night on the Housewives of Potomac, I think.
Oh, it's so cute. Because it's like beer pong, yeah. But like chicer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You were playing that at your birthday.
Yeah. I've been wanting to play it all summer. And so Red Star set it up in like the corner of his backyard. And I was like, that warmed my heart because I've been wanting to play it literally all summer. I had nobody to play with.
That steak was so delicious at your birthday.
He, like, honestly,
the food was so, listen, anybody who throws a party that gets the food that right is like, that food was delicious.
And everybody, like, he really looked at all my friends that were coming and were like, okay, she doesn't eat cheese, so we'll do this without cheese. Like, he was like really thoughtful about every little thing. He like even got like weed drinks for my friends that don't drink alcohol, but like to take edibles and stuff. Like, he like literally was so thoughtful. For everybody.
Every dietary restriction. I think I just said I didn't have any. I just didn't want to bore anybody with my like high protein, low carb, bro. Like have a big steak and some air fried broccoli and I'll suss out the dessert. I think I ate half
wait,
of the,
asked
the
you,
watermelon
wait, he
also.
Asked you if you had dietary restrictions?
Yeah, I'm sure.
I love it.
Yeah, but also the star of that evening, aside from you and the steak, was that fucking watermelon.
Yeah. Oh,
because you know it's a gamble when you get a watermelon.
It is a gamble. It's a real
and then
gamble.
I watched the chef open it up, and I was like, "Oh damn!"
I've never seen a watermelon cut like that in my life.
Oh, it was like ruby red and juicy, and just like, oh, if I could turn back time, I would just have a plate of steak and watermelon.
He's not
your,
wrong.
Your listeners are quickly scrubbing forward on the. they're scrubbing in and forward right now.
Yeah. Okay, so we'll get into the emails now because Brad gives really great advice. And so let's just get straight to it.
This is from Anonymous. My boyfriend, 35, and I, 30, have been dating for a year and a half and live in different cities, about an hour and a half apart. We both work a lot of hours during the week, and he owns his own business. Throughout our relationship, we've had a few periods where he says he gets extremely overwhelmed with work and all communication between us will stop for 4 to 5 days. I've told him this bothers me. Since then, he communicates to me that he needs some time and is feeling overwhelmed. I consider myself very independent and don't reach out when he asks for space, although I still feel very bothered that he doesn't lean on me to comfort him and instead pushes me out. Am I overthinking this? Am I asking too much for wanting a daily quick check-in text? Is there a better way that I can support him?
I mean, that sounds like red flag city to me. I don't know. Like when being addicted to being overwhelmed is like the same as being addicted to being
busy,
like being addicted to being busy. It's like, it's yes, you should. I feel like when I'm stressed out at work, the only person I want to talk to is my husband, you know, like that should be the person in your life or your boyfriend or your partner who is, I want to be the person that my husband comes to when he's, you know, stressed out at work or any of those things. So I think all of the things that she is feeling are valid, and there needs to be a bigger discussion about why the first instinct is to shut down when busy.
You know, it's interesting because I'm the same way. I would not like that. I would, especially 4 to 5 days, not talking for 4 to 5 days feels weird to me. Becca is one of those people where when she gets in a fight, like she needs space. So she needs time to like cool down and then reassess. But 4 or 5 days is not it. It's like a couple hours, I think.
Yeah, 4 to 5 days is a long time.
That's like almost a week.
Yeah. Also, aren't people working like 2 hours a day right now? Like, what's happening? Do you know what I mean? Like, when we were in the pandemic, like, I don't know what's happening state to state with people being back at work and stuff. And I understand, like, it just seems like a very extreme reaction. Like, maybe we can suggest like a meditation app or like.
Well,
something.
Are we trusting that it's stress? Are we taking this at face value, or could this be an excuse for something else? And I'm not saying it's anything sinister or anything, but maybe he needs a break. Maybe he wants to go out with his guys. I don't know. Maybe there's something else going on here that he just needs to be alone. Maybe he just needs space every once in a while. Maybe that's just kind of how he is.
I don't know if that's somebody I would want to be in a relationship with.
Yeah, same.
I mean, like book a boys weekend then, if that's like, you know, like I book weekends away to go away with my friends, or, you know, there's always an opportunity to say like, hey, I'm going to go to Palm Springs with my guy friends this weekend for 2 days and act like an idiot. Like that I understand, but going totally rogue for 4 to 5 days because you're overwhelmed with work feels a little sketch.
So what's the advice? Have a conversation, and if things don't get better, this may not be the relationship for you.
Well, long distance is hard anyway,
true.
Regardless of if it's an hour and a half or, you know, across the country. So long distance is really tricky. And then cutting off communication for days, like I would be having a final conversation about you know, being more communicative when work is stressful or he's feeling overwhelmed, and what the solution is to try to help him get over that. And then if that behavior doesn't change, then I would evaluate if this was something I wanted to continue being in, a relationship I want to be in.
Yeah, I agree. I couldn't do the 4 or 5 day thing.
Me neither. I get stressed when somebody doesn't text me back within like 20 max. Like, I'm like, what are you doing?
Oh,
are you in a
God,
movie?
Try being friends with Becca. It is, you got to eat sometimes.
Wait, how long?
Sometimes
how
I have
long
to
does she take?
So it could be a days. Like, I text her and then
maybe
sometimes
Becca should date him.
Yeah. Like, I'll see her on Instagram and I'll be like, hello, I see her on Instagram. Can you text me back? And then usually she'll text me back.
What's that about?
I don't, it's not intentional. She's not doing it because she doesn't want to answer me. I think it's just like she sees it, she forgets to respond, and then she just goes about her day.
Oh, 24 hours. Like if I'm sometimes asleep and then I wake up and I'm like, oh my God, I forgot to return so-and-so's text.
Yeah.
Brutal.
All right. This is from Caitlin. I was hoping for some advice after a tough conversation I had with my boss today. Some background, I've worked for the same company for 5 years now and have been fighting for my first big promotion hard for the past year. I've always done my best to advocate for myself, but have had many doors slammed in my face with keep working hard, kid, on the way out. My boss just told me they've decided to hire externally for the internal promotion I was fighting for. This promotion was really my only chance of growth. And although I love where I work, the love just doesn't seem to be returned. What do I do next?
That's, I hear this so much from like my friends and God, that's such a brutal place to be in, to feel underappreciated, right?
Yeah, not only that, but also like if, you know, I think you can kind of look at your workspace and you can kind of see like, okay, I can grow to this position and then I can grow to this position or I can grow to this person or I can do this, you know, and you can kind of figure out different avenues of how to grow in that company. If there's nowhere for you to grow and they just hired somebody else to come into the only spot that you can grow to, I think you have no other choice but to like start looking elsewhere.
Yeah. Keep going. Sorry.
No, but like look elsewhere. Don't say anything. Don't quit your job until you have another one lined up. But I think you kind of have to start looking outside.
Put feelers out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you have to have made connections with other companies, other businesses, other people. I think it's time to start calling in some of those favors. When I get to a new job, I'm always looking to find that ladder and what the next rung is on it. And when that rung is no longer available, yeah, I think you got to start looking around. They don't have to know that, but it's worth getting out there.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's also makes a world of difference when you're working in a job where you're feeling appreciated.
Mm-hmm. Totally.
And that's, I would definitely start.
And a year from now, you might be very happy that you did not get this promotion.
Totally.
Yeah. And God's rejection is God's protection.
Did you say God's rejection is God's protection?
Yeah.
No, it's man's rejection is God's protection.
Oh, really?
God's rejection is God's protection. Doesn't make any sense.
No, it's saying we say that like,
no, if, think about
if,
it.
Wait, if you get rejected, if God, like something that you want, you don't get, that's God rejecting that is God protecting you.
No, it's,
right? Because we live in God's world.
No, it's
not man's world.
No, we live in man's world because God's not man.
Man's rejection is God's protection?
Correct.
I don't think I've ever heard it like that before.
No, there's no right way.
God's rejection is God's protection.
Man's rejection is God's protection.
Really?
Yes. Also, how many God people are you talking to that use that?
Well, everyone in AA, duh. It's a spiritual program. What's the matter with you? It's all about God.
I didn't know
higher
that.
Higher power.
I will say that, if you Google that phrase, most of what comes up is rejection is God's protection, or sometimes okay. Rejection is God's protection.
Sometimes rejection is God's protection. Okay, thank you, Mark.
Fine.
We can say sometimes, but maybe sometimes we'll leave you with this thought, Scrubbers.
Yeah.
God's rejection is God's protection.
That might need to be the title of the episode.
Or,
I'm not going to lie.
Man's rejection is God's protection.
Exactly.
Or sometimes rejection is God's protection.
Or you can do sometimes rejection is God's redirection.
Oh, I love that.
Thank you.
That one I really like. Thank Where's you. That from?
I don't know, the Bible. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. It's not at all.
I don't think that's in the Bible.
It's not. I don't know who said that. I don't know. But it's a good one.
Sometimes rejection is God's redirection.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds like an Instagram quote.
Yeah, maybe I saw it on Instagram. I don't know. But I do, because you are just like the bestest friend ever, and you are a busy working modern woman. I want to honor your time and let you go. And you're always so punctual. So I just want to really respect you. What?
What time was I supposed to show up?
When you did. 1 o'clock.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Good, good.
Yeah.
But who showed, like, do people show up really late?
Becca Tilly is usually late to our own podcast that we do every single Monday at the exact same time.
Oh, I gotcha. Yeah, yeah, now yeah. I understand. I was like, what guest is showing up late?
No, not guest. But yeah, Becca is not the most punctual. Love her to death. We all have strengths and weaknesses. You know, we are yin and yang energy.
Maybe it's sometimes lack of punctuality is God's protection.
Or maybe it's like late friends teach patience like God.
There we go. I get that.
Okay. All right. And on that note, we are going to... wish you all a wonderful Monday. Brad, thank you so much. Everybody listening, you can check out The Prince. It's streaming right now on HBO Max. Send Brad, send Gary your love when you're watching it. Post it, tag them. They have an Instagram handle, right?
Yeah, The Prince on, I think it's called The Prince on HBO Max is the official Instagram for the show.
So it's really funny. I think you guys will all enjoy it. And Brad, thank you so much for taking the time. I love you.
I love you, Tanya.
Mwah!
Mwah. Bye, scrubbers.
Oh, that's cute.